Hey guys, one of the coolest things about doing this podcast is getting to meet interesting people. And recently I had the privilege of being on the Kilroy Williams show. So I've posted for you here as a bonus episode, my interview on the Kilroy Williams show. Enjoy.
Welcome everyone to the Kilroy Williams Show. I have a very special guest for you today, Cason Pratt, and he's going to share with us what his testimony in life and what his message is out there to help people, help believers to get through what we're going through in our country and uniting and everything. And hopefully he'll give us some good, encouraging word today. Welcome to the show, Cason. How are you?
Very good. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I appreciate you being here. Do you mind sharing what your message or testimony and what you've been going through in your life and where you see things are going now and how you think we can encourage everyone today?
Sure. If I go way back, we'll make a long story short, but I grew up in Japan. I was a missionary kid, and so my parents were missionaries, and my grandparents were missionaries as well. So I have that background. And when we came to America, I was about third grade, I think. I was about 8 years old, and just kind of got thrown into the American culture. And I always prided myself in being perceptive, and later in life, that turned into a little bit of healthy skepticism, and I was always finding myself asking questions, and it's just who I was. I liked to learn how things worked physically and strategically, and so as I got older and I got married and I had a family, and when you have a family and you start to have children, you start to think about, oh shoot, you know, I'm responsible for like other people.
Right.
So yeah, so I wanted to do the right thing for these other people who I'm responsible for now, and so I started to not simply just believe anything I'm told without another thought, because I'm responsible for this person. So I started looking at things for myself and using my own brain that God gave me and my discernment to find the truth. And I realized that there are a lot of deceptions. Sometimes the deceptions are inadvertent, and sometimes the deceptions are purposefully perpetrated against us, because, as we all know, Satan has, this is Satan's playground.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
And although God is restraining him to some degree for now, this is Satan's playground. And that doesn't mean God's not in control or in charge, but so I learned a lot of things, and I found out a lot of deep truths to things, just about any kind of topic you could imagine. Actually, my studies into the medical industry began about 15 years ago or so, when 16 years ago, when my daughter was, my first child was born. And remember, I said, you know, I started realizing, oh, I'm responsible for this other person. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, so in today's age, you know, medical things are a hot topic, and it's funny because I talk to people sometimes, maybe I'm disagreeing or arguing with people about what could be true and what's not, and I say, hey, how long have you been looking into, you know, this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, well, you know, 2019, 2020, that's when this all started. And I'm like, well, you know, it was 2005 for me. And they're like, what? And I'm like, yeah, this, I'm not just, you know, speaking about things I don't know anything about. Now, you hear a lot of people say, well, well, I'm not an expert, or I'm not a this or that. And I don't like that, because just because someone is wearing a lab coat or a bow tie or something doesn't give them a monopoly on the truth.
Right.
And so that's kind of my backstory there. Anyway, I came to a point where I needed an outlet for this information. Like, if you knew, for example, as believers, we know about important information. We have good news, right? About people's eternal souls. So since we know this good news, we want to tell people. And
absolutely.
Actually, we're commanded to tell people. And so I equate it similarly, where when I find out the truth of something, if I just bottle it up and don't say anything to anyone, I can't sleep at night. So I needed an outlet, and that's when I started my podcast kind of recently, and kind of as a way to just get it out of me, because I wasn't doing well. I was frustrated. I was bottled up. I didn't know what to do, and I just got it out of me. So I started my podcast called Awake the Iron.
Awake the Iron. Okay, well, I'll definitely keep promoting that for you on our show. That's fantastic, man. That's great. And that's how essentially I was. I haven't started this long. It's only a couple months for me. And in my own personal experience, God spoke to me about a year or two ago to do it. And each time he kept telling me, no, I don't want you to do it now. I don't want you to do it now. Just wait, just wait, just wait. And it just happened so far this year that he wanted me to do it. And, you know, it's all new to me. You know, I'm a rookie, but, you know, I just take it, you know, whatever God wants me to say. And, you know, I've had some people even, you know, will tell me, like, well, you know, you need to speak this way and that way. I'm like, look, you know, I mean, Moses stuttered. You know, I'm not perfect, you know. And right. God doesn't look for the qualified. He looks for the unqualified. That's who he looks for. So, you know.
Yeah, you're right. Most oftentimes, if we look at any of the heroes from Scripture, it's usually the person that you would least have chosen. You know, if you had a room full of people. Okay, so Moses as your example, right? We need somebody to go and be a good speaker and go present himself in front of Pharaoh and talk about these things. And guess what? Moses couldn't talk in front of people.
Right, exactly.
So, yeah, or you know, we got this guy, this Philistine guy. He's huge, and he's a huge warrior. He kills everybody. Who are we going to send out there? How about this little kid? Let's send him out there.
Yeah,
right. No,
exactly.
That you're right.
It's all
and,
in the word. It's all in the word.
That's right. And an interesting side note about you were talking about how God was, you know, guiding you there, and but my profession is I do maintenance and construction.
Okay.
So, I'm almost 45. And when I was a young man, I went to college and I have a degree in video production, video and audio production.
Oh, wow.
And somehow after that, the path that I was on just took me to, this kind of industry, the maintenance industry. And I like it. And I enjoy it. And I think I'm good at it. But I always was like, man, I never got to use that, you know, the skills that I went to college for. And lo and behold, I started getting involved at my church. I go to a pretty big church, so I do some of the video stuff there.
Awesome.
And all the cool equipment that's all newer and nicer than what I ever used. But fundamentally, it's all the same. And I, with doing the podcast, there's a lot of audio considerations, you know, when I'm recording and stuff.
Yep.
and I'm doing video too. And guess what? So it didn't happen in my timing, but God is using those things through me now. You know,
yep.
It took 20 some years,
yep.
Maybe 20 years. I didn't understand the timing, but he did.
Yeah. When you think that you have it figured out, no, God says, uh-uh, it's not going to be that way. It's going to be this way.
You're right. You're right.
And it's funny. My background is a broadcast technician. And So I've worked at a lot of major cable networks and stuff, and I find myself been involved with that all my life, just out of high school, and I never thought I'd be doing this. That's for sure. I never thought I'd be doing this, and people always told me, "Well, you have such a, you know, almost like a broadcast voice." I go, "No, I don't." and they always said, "You need to be in radio." And I'm like, "Well, you don't understand radio. That's not a very secure job. I mean, you can have the owner change the format in a heartbeat, and you can be out finding another job somewhere." But that's the industry in itself. But that's really cool, because see what God did for you. You always had that gift, you know, and he planted that in you, and you can always use that no matter what time or what part of your life, you know. So that's really good. That's fantastic.
Yeah, and my you know, I went to school for that with the idea that I would do that as a job, as a career, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then it didn't work out that way, but I give a lot of credit to my brother and my sister. And my sister said, when I was like, "Yeah, it's cool, you know, I didn't ever get to use that, but it was good," and she said, "Well, why can't you just do it? Do something with that, whether you get paid for it or not." And she said, "If you love it, then just do it."
Yeah.
And I'm like, I had the wrong mindset about that, you know, or something. And so it's like, just do it. If you like it and you're compelled to do it and you feel led to do it, then just do it. And, you know, you don't know where it'll take you unless you just start.
Yeah.
So it's been fun. It's been great.
That's awesome. So can you share a little bit, what was it like to live in Japan? How old did you say you were?
Yeah, so I was born in Tokyo and lived there until I was about 8. And a couple short instances, we were back in the States. I went to part of kindergarten here in the States, maybe. And so, I grew up around, I grew up in Japanese culture. And actually, when we were going to come back to the States to stay for good, and I guess I started third grade in the U.S., my parents were kind of concerned that I'd be a little behind. Now, I did have an American teacher from the Air Force base in Japan that came and schooled us at home in American curriculum.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, so I was up to speed, I guess, on paper, but there's some culture differences that, and language, just if most of my day was spent speaking Japanese.
Oh, wow.
As a kid, then, you know, you get thrown into American third grade, it's like, are you going to be able to, you know, function? Or my there's always a funny story that one of the first things we did when we were back in the States is, you know, we stopped at a McDonald's or something, and the lady was giving my dad change, and she was like, you know, "So here's your quarter." And I looked at my dad and said, "Hey, what's a quarter?"
Wow.
And all these people look at my parents like, "What have you been teaching these kids?" Oh, but, you know, but kids always do, we caught up pretty quick.
So did your parents find out, or do you remember yourself? Were the schools in Japan, were they ahead of us educational-wise compared to the U.S. education system?
I don't know. I do know that they went to school a lot. Their school days were long, even some, I don't know if it was some Saturdays or most Saturdays. They went to school in the summer. There were some breaks, but it seemed intense. I went to a short bit of Japanese kindergarten, so mm-hmm. Yeah, that probably didn't really count. But
right.
I remember friends of mine in the neighborhood were always in school, always doing school stuff, homework until late hours of the night. You know, and I'm homeschooled and on the, you know, on the American curriculum or whatever, and I'm outside like, "Hey, where's all my friends at? You know, I'm ready to play baseball or whatever."
Yeah.
But
they're still studying.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, so as far as, you know, were they ahead or not, I don't know, but I would imagine so if you're in school that much.
I would think so, because I always want to know that, because I've heard that, you know, well, we know how our education system in here is pretty sad sometimes, and I was just curious if they were that much ahead. But like you said, they probably would be if they're in school that much, because, you know,
yeah,
they're exercising their brain and they're learning a lot, I'm sure.
Right.
How long? So, where do you live now? You live where now?
I live in the Columbus, Ohio area.
Okay.
Actually, in a suburb town called Hilliard.
Fantastic.
On the edge of town. Yeah.
Fantastic. So you came back to the U.S. when you were little. So basically, you more or less all your life here in the U.S. now, right?
Yeah, pretty much, and mainly in Ohio. So,
great, fantastic. So, tell us a little bit more about your podcast. I mean, what has your experience been so far since you've been on air with it?
Yeah, it's been so amazing, and getting to meet new people like you and being on other shows and having people on my show from other shows, and I'm so glad that I started to just doing it. And I mean, you know, it's pretty small. I'm not like world famous or anything, but that wasn't really the goal. Like I said, the goal was to like get information out. And you know, the theme at Awake the Iron is to expose deception.
Mm-hmm.
And so we try to we get off track sometimes. You know how that goes.
Oh,
sometimes.
Of course.
You
yeah.
get to talking right. and
sure.
But we really try to stay focused in exposing deception.
Mm-hmm.
And man oh man, I tell you what, if there wasn't a better time to talk about things like that, it is now.
Oh, it definitely is. It definitely is. And that's been such a passion of mine right now. It's several of my episodes have been like, you know, really like what the church is today. You know, a lot of the churches you even go to, they're more entertaining now, feel good type atmosphere, and they're not really the real
yeah.
worship the way it should be. I've done a show with that, and I'm right there with you. I don't have a very big audience, and I've always shared with people, you know, it's not all about me. This is God's platform, and if I have to just talk to Him, that's fine. I'll just talk to Him, and I will do it until He tells me to stop. Right now, I don't feel He wants me to stop, and if He wants it to grow, it'll grow. It's not mine. When I prayed this to the Lord, I said, "This is Yours. Please direct me where You want me to go." And so far, it's just humming along. And God's timing's different than ours, you know. I'll look sometimes, I'm like, wow, I don't have very many listeners on this one. And then I'm reminded, that's not really what it's about, you know. It's just, you know, whatever the Lord leads, you know, and it'll work out. So that's my experience anyway so far.
Absolutely, yeah. I couldn't agree more. And, you know, I'm assuming that the majority of your audience would be, you know, Christian or Christ followers. Maybe not all, but, which is fine. But I got angry during all of this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I can say the trigger words. If you'll be on any platforms that get censored or not, but.
Just call it the jab if you want, or whatever. That's fine.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and I think people know. But all of this this clown show of 2020,
mm-hmm.
and I became angry with Christians.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think some Christians got angry with me.
Yeah.
And I'll share with you a couple of things that I've heard.
Please do.
So. One, some people use the, I forget the exact passage, where it says we should follow the law. We should obey the law.
Right. I know where you're going with this, right? I think. Yep.
Yeah. And the way that these people meant it to me was that I was refusing I was denouncing the mask mandates, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And I was fighting against that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was said to me, hey, we need to be an example and just follow the law. And
it's not a law, dude.
The reason I became, there you go. The reason I became angry was because in order to follow the law, which I agree, Scripture says that, so we should, because our fight is spiritual. So the point of that Scripture is our fight is spiritual, so superficial things, physical things, aren't as important. So we got to follow the law and follow the government, the rules of the government. Fine, I agree. But you have to know and understand the law to be able to follow it.
Yeah.
Okay, so our governor here in Ohio, like a lot of other ones, said everyone is required, you got to wear a mask. And it's one, you said it, it's not a law. And secondly, we have an organization here called the 1851 Center for Constitutional Law.
Mm-hmm.
Long name, but they're lawyers who focus on constitutional law. And they said on multiple occasions, and they were on the radio saying, to disregard the mandate is to follow the law, because the mandate is a nothing. A buffoon spews out hot air and says you have to wear this on your face. It doesn't mean you have to. It doesn't even mean that it's lawful in any way. So if the governor came out and said, everyone has to give me all your clothes, you don't have to do that just because the governor said it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so I was angry at the governor too, because you can say what you want. Anyone can say what they want, but as a person in a position of power, your whatever you say, you know, holds a lot of weight, and these people think so. And so you send people into a frenzy thinking they have to do this and that when they really don't. And the bad thing is our governor is a lawyer. So that tells me he's not just dumb about it. He knows exactly what he's doing.
Yep.
And he's violating the law. And then he would go back and say, well, you know, I said it, but, you know, you don't have to. Well, yeah, you made everybody think you had to. And so this is what aggravated me about Christians who told me, we need to be an example and just do what the governor says. And I'm like, no, we're supposed to follow the law, and you can't follow the law unless you know it, and you obviously don't know it. So, sorry, that's my little rant about that, because I was really mad about that.
I'm right there with you, and that's exactly what I've been going through. And it also hurts when it's your family members that are believers are doing the same thing. And keep in mind, the Bible says at the end times, people will be deceived. I had no idea it was going to be us Christians. I had no idea it was going to be like that. Boy.
I know.
That's just so scary. So scary.
You know, yeah. And one more thing on that. And as, you know, well, we need to be an example as a Christian, you know. And I'm like, well, I have a responsibility to the truth. And
yes.
if I feel I've come upon the truth, then I'm responsible for it. And, you know, there's a quote from a lawyer that just really stuck to me. I don't know if you've ever seen the documentary called Making a Murderer, but
I've heard of it.
Anyway. Okay, well, there's a lawyer in the second season of that. She's excellent, and she says that she believes that juries make the right decision when they have all of the information. And if you watch that series, you can tend to lose all faith in the jury system, but here she is saying she believes the jury makes the right decision, okay? Mm-hmm. But she has a caveat if they have all the right information. And I equate that to today, where so much information about the jab or the virus or whatever is very one-sided.
Yes.
And there's a lot of information that is opposing to that. And maybe it's true, maybe it's not. It doesn't matter. You, me, everyone, and especially people in decision-making positions like school board members and superintendents, they should hear all the information. Then they could make a decision.
They don't want to hear it. They don't want to hear it.
Right. I know. And that just boggles my mind. And then if you're a Christian, and so by default, you're responsible for the truth as well. This is another reason for the podcast. And maybe this is why you're doing it too, is to get information out there. So the first step is someone realizing, oh, I don't have all the information, or I didn't have access to it. Right. Mm-hmm. Or they censored Kilroy's show because he said, something about a virus and then they just censor it. So you didn't get it.
Yeah.
Or whatever. First is realizing it, realizing you've been deceived. Then you can figure out what the deception was. But you have to, and it's okay. It's okay to say, oh, darn it, I was lied to and I bought it.
Yeah.
But let's move forward. It's okay.
A lot of that will be pride with people. It'll be pride.
Probably. And it's okay to change your mind based on new information. So just like in a jury trial, I'll just use that example again. You do an appeal hearing where there's all this other evidence that was never used, and it's quite compelling to the case. Well, they'll redo the trial because you have all this new information. And then guess what? Sometimes it's like, wow, we didn't know that. The jury says, oh, well, he's not guilty, and we put him in prison. And we shouldn't have, because there was new information, and that's okay. So the pride thing, you're probably right about that. But here's the thing. I don't have an agenda. I have nothing to gain. I don't make any money doing my podcast. I have no problem with people doing a podcast and making money. I don't. I'm not making any money right now on it. So I have no agenda. I care about people. So I don't understand why someone wouldn't at least give me the benefit of the doubt that my intentions are good. Even if maybe I'm wrong about every single thing I say, but I'm not a liar. I might make a mistake, but I'm not a liar. And I care about you and I care about people. So I don't understand why, my whole example about, if someone's wearing a white lab coat, then everything they say is true. And if you don't wear a white lab coat, it's not true.
We don't even know if we don't even really know if they're real doctors sometimes. Seriously, that they put on TV, that could be an actor.
You're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. And all I can say about something that I'm presented with on the news is what I'm seeing visually. I don't know anything, really. I'm being told something, and this is what goes back to the whole researching for a long time, is I don't trust it. I don't trust it. And we shouldn't trust it.
The people that are telling you and me that we should do the right thing and follow the law, which is not a law, it's a mandate. They're ignorant about our laws, unfortunately. And they're the ones that are watching that mainstream phony media. I call it Satan's media. Satan is using them as his communication tool to brainwash everyone that listens to it. Would you not agree?
I agree 100%. And he's the father of lies. He's the deceiver. So anyone who deceives in any way is doing Satan's work.
Yes.
He's the father of lies. So, And then I think there are a whole ton. I think there are a massive amount of people who, for lack of a better term, are just useful idiots.
Absolutely. And absolutely.
I'm not trying to cut anyone down. I'm not saying I know everything, and I'm not saying I'm right about everything, and I'm not saying I'm the smartest person. All I'm saying is if you only listen to one side of information, then all of your decisions are based on just that, and you could be inadvertently complicit in perpetuating a deception.
That's right. That's right. And I always tell my listeners, don't take my word for it. Do your own research. Do your own research.
Yes, very
good. Look it up yourself. It's there. Make sure you find the right research, you know, because you can't believe everything you see online. So that's why it takes a while to find it. But you will. You'll find it. And it's going to shock you. I'm deeply concerned about right now where our country's going towards almost communism. We're almost there, practically. It really, and I don't see Christians standing up like they should. The churches should be out there. Back in the Revolutionary War, the pastors were out there fighting in the battlefield. Where are the pastors now? Where are the leaders of the church? I don't see it. And maybe I'm wrong, but I have not seen it the way it should be. And I think a lot of that is, I don't know how familiar you are with the 501c3 churches, that the government has control over these churches. And they're afraid to speak up. They're afraid to talk, you know? That's the way I see it, and it just concerns it concerns me. It really concerns me that's not even taught in the church that we need to fight for our freedom. It's the enemy that's doing it, and people were just in their own little world. I did an episode today where people were in their comfort zone, and they're in their own little world. They don't want to be involved, you know, and I'm like you. I get my emotions. I have to watch my emotions. Because it just makes me so angry. It really makes me angry, especially if it's believers. I'm like, what are you thinking about? And family members that I thought would never fall for this trap have. And I just can't. And you can't talk to them. They're not going to listen. Unfortunately, they're not going to listen. And that's where prayer comes in. I have to pray for them. Because, you know, it's
you're
just.
Right. And you're absolutely right. Yeah.
And when what I see is as far as the jab, it never was tested, you know. And people say, "Well, you take the flu shot." Well, it took 5 or more years. They did that test. This is not
right.
The Vaseline, the key word there. It's not a Vaseline. It is just a plain poison to your body. And the facts are coming out.
You're right.
The truth is coming out about that. And the ones that don't want to hear it, unfortunately, they're going to be the ones with the consequences. So my prayer is that somehow God heals them, and they don't have that consequences, you know. And I they can repent. And I really believe, it's just my personal opinion, I really believe two things. One, I think this is a test for the mark of the beast. I know people will probably say, well, you're a wacko, but this could be their test for that. I really believe that. And they want to see what they can get away with. They want to push their agenda. They want to put the Antichrist on the throne. I'm telling you, that is the goal eventually with all of this. What are your feelings about that?
Well, yeah, I'm thinking you're hitting the nail on the head here, man. And everyone in history that has been alive or been a part of something epic or something amazing or something horrible historically, they didn't know the magnitude of what they were involved in really until later. When we look back and say, wow, right? Talk to any World War II vet, you know, or some guy who stormed the beaches of Normandy. It was a massive operation, but that guy didn't really fully understand the how massive that of a historical event he was a part of. You know, maybe to some extent, like, wow, this is big. But so I think we're living in it. It sure feels like it. You have to read scripture and understand what's going on. But a buddy of mine summed it up very good. I was getting really frustrated. This is a really good friend, the kind of friend you can just call and vent to for 50 minutes and be like, all right, thanks for listening. Bye.
They are the best ones, aren't they? Oh, man.
They are the best. But it's my buddy, Brother Rick. And I called Brother Rick. I said, hey, Brother Rick, I'm hurting here. I'm frustrated. Everything's falling apart. My country is destroyed, you know, in a sense. And I said, everything is falling apart. And he said, you know what, Kason? He said, I don't know that it's falling apart. He said, I think everything is falling into place.
Wow. That's a good way to put
it. Yeah. And I was silent for what felt like, you know, 10 minutes. And the words just sunk in. And you know, I started crying. Like, oh my gosh, I'm missing the whole point here that, yeah, this is all been foretold. Like it's happening and yeah. We're living it.
Yes. We are living in biblical history right now. I feel that this is what we're going through. It's almost, we should look at it this way too. We should be honored by God that he has us living in this time to fight for freedom and fight for him, to witness to others who are lost. He's putting us in a position right now in our lifetime. He knew all along before we were even born that we were going to be a part of this. So the way I also look at it too, that helps me when I get frustrated, Lord, is I'm honored that you're putting me on the battlefield to fight this for you.
That is an excellent, excellent way to look at it. And, you know, I was just recently reminded of a great little tidbit from the book called The Hiding Place by Corrie Ten Boom.
Yes, I'm very familiar
with
that book.
You ever read it? But,
yes.
Yeah, but, you know, she was in a Nazi internment camp, and she was determined to be thankful to God. And she writes about being thankful for the fleas in the little hut where they were all packed in. And I'm thinking, how in the world, how tough would you have to be able to be thankful in that situation for the fleas? However, she's decided, I'll be thankful for the fleas. And later she realized that they were able to do Bible study in their barracks because the guards didn't want to go in there because of the fleas.
Wow. Wow. I have a book of hers that has all her poetry, and it's so encouraging, the stuff that she wrote.
Oh, it's amazing. And it's been years since I've read The Hiding Place, but there was another instance where she was determined not to lie. And they're being inspected before getting put on the trains, I think, to go to the internment camps, and she had a Bible, but she knew they would take it, but she was determined not to lie, and something happened when she got up there to be inspected, and there was a distraction or something, and she was overlooked.
Wow. Wow.
But she had determined to do the right thing in God's view, because even if you were lying that you had a Bible, like, oh, well, you know, maybe I could lie about at least having the Bible, because God would want me to have the Bible. No, God doesn't want you to lie.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I know, just things like that. And you hit the nail on the head, man, about being thankful that we are in this position to, you know, fight this battle.
We're the Davids right now, man. We're the Davids. We're the Davids. We're the Moses. We're all of them right now.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. This is literally the Bible being rewritten all over again. It's just a different time. I call our government the evil Pharaoh government. I did a couple series where it's the Red Sea moment, and God has given us an opportunity to cross that Red Sea. It is open right now. Now I think it's starting to close. And we just don't know it, but Pharaoh is drowning. He is drowning. He's being exposed. It's all coming out. It all is. And I'm not just talking about the Pharaoh that's in that White House. I'm talking about all his little minions as well. You know, it's all coming out. And I've shared with people, you know, trust the Lord, cross that Red Sea, be a part of him, you know, repent, because it's closing. And I see it closing each and every day. And, you know, you were saying that, you know, you were frustrated and you called your friend. We also don't know what God is doing behind the scenes. We don't know. I guarantee it's victory. I guarantee it's victory, because God always wins. And the lies that you see on TV, the fake media, even the fake websites and the social media, they're not going to tell you the truth that's going on. They're trying to keep it shut. That's why they have distractions. That's why they have, you know, all the sort of lies they're telling people. And sadly, again, our brothers and sisters, Christians, believe this. Majority of them, I think, believe it. And it just frustrates the heck out of me. And getting back to the jab, where they agreed to take it, that's fine. That's their personal decision. But I was just so upset because they never checked into it. They jumped right into it. And they're all proud of it. They're all proud of it. And they take their little, I call them Nazi cards. They take their little cards that they got the jab, and they're all proud and they're showing it. It's just amazing. And now they're going to say, well, you need a booster. And they're going to do that too. And what scares me is, from what I've heard from research that I've done, that might be the nail in the final coffin for those people, because it's the stuff that they took kills the immune system, and they're not going to be able to fight it off. If they catch a cold or the flu, they're not going to be able to fight that off. And that's why they're predicting, unfortunately, a lot of passing in the next few years. And I'm praying to the Lord now that that doesn't happen, because God can do anything. He can heal. He can forgive. So that's my prayer. That's how I get through each day, by knowing that, hey, this doesn't mean this is the end. This could be an awakening for everyone, and, you know, we can see a miracle that God is going to heal. But I'm praying that people stand up, because God does win in the end. But my personal opinion is, if everyone sits on their hands, this is just going to prolong it. This could be our 40 years roaming in the desert, you know, and it's
right.
That's concerning to me. It really is.
Well, it should be. You're right. And, you know, a lot of times I'll call and vent to my mom. My mom's a very, very smart lady. And, I'll call and, oh, I'm upset, I'm frustrated, blah, blah. And she agrees, but she usually is right. And she says, well, just, you know, take some time, you know, read the book of Daniel. If you want to read about, if you want to understand, you know, people who were prisoners under a horrible government, mm-hmm. right? There's lots of examples, right?
Yeah, all through the Bible.
Read Nehemiah. Yeah, read Nehemiah is some of my favorites. Read the book of Daniel. You know, and someone else, I can't remember who pointed to this to me about what's going on now. And I was frustrated, and, oh, my gosh, you know, what are we going to do? And this person said, well, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were sent into the furnace, you know, God didn't keep them out of the furnace. He joined them and was with them in the furnace. Mm-hmm. So, if I pray that, oh God, you'll get me out of this horrible situation, maybe that's not the right prayer. The right prayer might be, God, please be with me.
Yes.
During this horrible situation.
Yes.
And it's because I've surrounded myself with people who love the truth, and want to know God, that I get these great reminders all the time that get me back on track, because I have a tendency to get sucked down the rabbit hole.
You're only human.
A little bit.
We all do that.
Yeah, and when you're researching this stuff, it can get dark and lonely, and we have to be careful to make sure we keep our focus, you know, on God first.
Yes, because it can exhaust you. It can mentally
exhaust you. It really can.
And that's when I just tell, okay, Lord, and I think that's the Lord telling me, okay, you need to take a break. You need to take a break. Even from the resources that you read every day, the ones that you can trust, that can really mentally exhaust you. You need a break. And that's when I just go into the Word and I just take a break and get away from that, you know, because that just starts to just overwhelm you and take over if you allow that.
Yeah, I've had more in the last 2 years. I don't have a lot of hair. But,
me either, my friend. I don't either.
I don't have a lot of hair, but I had almost no gray hairs, but in the last 2 years, I've had a lot of gray hairs show up, man.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
It takes a toll on you. And I sometimes just throw my hands up and, you know, I like old historical flags, and one of my favorites is one that George Washington used. It said "Appeal to Heaven."
Nice.
And it had a picture of a pine tree on it, and it said "Appeal to Heaven." And basically, it was when you've done everything you can, but you feel like you got to throw your hands up, just all that's left to do is appeal to heaven. And really, we should appeal to heaven at all times,
every day.
But it was a neat little reminder that, you know, when you feel like giving up, just keep doing the right thing. We know what the right thing is.
Yep. And of course,
just do that.
The enemy will interfere and try to discourage you. And, you know, when he sees that, when you're being attacked, be honored because you're doing the right thing. You know, that's the way I look at it.
Yeah, you're right.
Because,
and you know what? Yeah, sorry.
Go ahead.
Well, I remembered when you were talking about the tax-exempt status, I made a note here because I wanted to mention, you know, you're talking about churches that have a tax-exempt status. They're kind of controlled by the government in a way, right? Because they got to follow the rules.
Correct.
Well, you want to hear the lamest? I heard the most lame excuse one time. And it was about that. It was, oh, if we don't do X, Y, and Z, we'll lose our tax-exempt status as a church, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, who cares?
Exactly.
You don't think God can take care of your church if
he didn't intend
you want to honor him?
He didn't intend to have that tax-exempt. It wasn't him. And you know what?
Right.
Kind of makes you wonder, okay, maybe I would leave that church. Seriously. I would just leave that I would leave that church because they're not doing the right thing. If that's where their heart is and that's what they're thinking. Again, that's what it is nowadays. It's about the offering plate and membership. You know, I call it the church golf a country club. That's the attitude that it is today. And it's sad. I'm not saying all churches are. Don't get me wrong. There are some good ones out there. But these are the majority ones. And it's not just the mega churches that you see on TV. And I believe God's going to deal with them. He is. You know, he's going to deal with the church. It goes both sides, spiritual and secular. It's, you know, the church has just done bad things and let this happen. And God's going to hold them accountable for that. But it's also local. I call them the mini mega churches. You see those in your town, too. You know, it's them, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think we're going to see a lot of things. I think we are going to see victory. I do believe in, and I have hope. I have a hope in God, and I know he's going to do it, but it's going to be his timing. You know, I get tired of people trying to set, you know, they set dates, and they think this is going to happen, that's going to happen. Listen, if Jesus doesn't know the date that he's coming back, what makes you think God's going to tell you his date saving America? It's not going to happen. Get that out of your head. Get that out of your head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't know how he's going to do it, but it's going to be amazing. It's going to be more than we expect, and it's going to be a blessing, but we have to do our part in the meantime. God never has won a battle, correct me if I'm wrong, but he uses people to fight his battle. He uses,
right.
I mean, look at all through the Bible, all those Bible heroes. He used them all to have victory in his battles. And boy, were they bad battles, you know? But they did it. They did it. And getting back to just real quick to the jab thing, I really also am concerned that, you know, that they're making it, you know, they're using this to separate people, you know, from the ones who have the way they feel. If they don't want to take it, well, then they're, you know, the devil is using that to separate and divide. You know, it's going back to the 1950s again, it looks like, as far as segregation. And it also, just the darn route lies that the that our leadership is telling. You know, it's like, and Satan himself wants to divide, and it's dividing the church. You see Christians that are dividing over, you see family members that are dividing over it. It's just absolutely ridiculous. And I told my wife the other day, I said, you know, the whole thing boils down to, if everyone would just mind their own business, mind your own business, and just don't worry about, don't put your stuff on me. You want to live in a country that has no freedom? I can direct you to plenty of them. But don't turn my country around the way you want it. But that's the enemy. That's what he's doing. That's what he's trying to do. I think he knows his days are numbered. And the more of that, the more bad things we're going to see. And it's just a way of, that's just the way he does. Like you said, it's his playground. And he, you know, but, you know, God only limits him to so much. And I've also heard Christians, believers say to me, oh, God's not in control over this. He wouldn't let this happen. Yes, he is. There's a reason why he let this happen. To wake us up, to expose the evil, to let people know we have been lied to for decades. The stuff that's going to come out about this country is going to blow everyone's mind, I believe. What say you?
I think you're right. And I think, there was a lot to unpack in there.
I got on my soapbox.
I know. Well, for one, Satan knows he's defeated in the end, but he's going to take as many down with him as possible. We know this.
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, so don't allow yourself to be taken down, you know? And, you're hitting the nail on the head on a lot of that. If you want to, yeah, and to think, oh, well, God's not going to do that or God's not going to do this, you know, read the book of Jeremiah. He's continually directed by God to tell Israel what's going to happen to them. Well, what a sucky job that would have been. But he did it. He had to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Talk about feeling all alone, right?
Oh,
and
I wonder if they banned him.
They
probably would have banned him from Facebook and everything, too, if they had it.
Oh, yeah. Jeremiah's Twitter account was canceled for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. Poor Jeremiah.
Yeah. it's all kind of repeating like the same things because the deceiver is the same. It's the same players, right?
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we have different technologies now, or we have different this, but the lies are the same. The deception is the same, and because the deceiver is the same.
Yes.
He has no new tricks. He has no new tricks. It's just wrapped up differently.
Yep, you're right. You're right. Comes in a different package. Yeah, absolutely. And he loves to put fear on people. And I think that has a lot to do with it, too. You know, he's having people fear the government. He's having believers fear. And, you know, I mean...
Oh, my gosh. You're right. I have a challenge for anyone listening. That if you listen to the news or you see any news, it's hard not to see any news. Go 1 week and not look at any news. Don't look at Facebook. Don't look at anywhere that you might get quote unquote like current news.
Mm-hmm.
Do it for 1 week. You will feel amazing.
You know, it's funny you said that.
You,
my wife and I did that
yeah.
one, and we did it for like 2 weeks. And then I said, you know, we need to go back doing that again. Yeah, because, yeah. And during that time, it had us be focused on God and his word. Because, again, you know, you could be distracted, and that's the enemy doing that because he doesn't want you to grow. But you're right. Yeah, you will feel cleansing, definitely.
And you know what? You know what else contributes to people not feeling well, you know, is being fearful. And everything is fear, 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 fear. You know, be afraid of this, be afraid of that. I think if we weren't all told to be afraid of all of this, that it would have been much different.
Oh, without a shadow of a doubt.
Yeah, and everything is divide, 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 like you said. We're divided by race. We're divided by gender. We're divided by countries. We're divided by sport teams. It goes on and on. Everything is divisive.
Everything has a label.
And
everything has a label, too. Yeah.
Yeah, and if you're just realistic, if you take a deep breath and you're just realistic for a second, and you think about your neighbors, you think about your coworkers, you think about your people at church, all those divisions, they're kind of not real.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're made up in a way. And I'm not saying there aren't people that do bad things. You know, like if we're talking about race, I'm not saying there aren't people that do things to other people based on race or whatever the you know, the thing is.
Right, absolutely.
I'm not saying that doesn't exist, but all of the things that we're told from the fear screen, we're told to be afraid of this, and then we get all riled up, and then you can't make good decisions when you're afraid. You make rash decisions.
That's the enemy doing that. That's
and then
the enemy.
Exactly. And then throw on top of that you don't have all the information, like we were talking about at the beginning.
Yeah.
So you don't have all the information, and you're in a state of fear, so you're making rash decisions that aren't well thought out. That's sounds like the work of Satan to me.
Oh, it is. It is. He wants to keep you blind. He wants to keep you he wants to keep you in the comfort zone as well. You know, he wants to keep you where that way you're not doing anything. I call it the comfort zone coma. You know, he wants you to that way you're not doing anything. You know, he loves people being in their comfort zone as believers. He loves that. You know, and his number one thing is to divide the church. And I hate to say it, it's some of it's working because we're allowing it. You know, we are allowing that to happen. And we can't. And I'm at the point now where it's sometimes too big for me. I think it is too big for me right now. And you may agree with this as far as getting the truth out and getting people to listen. And the Lord, you know, I got frustrated, and he told me, he says, you're doing your part. I'll take care of them because you can't change them. It's going to be their choice. And when it's all said and done, when I see, and this is me by faith, when God takes this country back, because it was founded on his word, and God remembers that. God remembers that America is the one that was the first country that planted the seeds of his word. And now it's time for it to harvest. But he's got to weed out these bad demons that are in control. They know their days are numbered. And I just feel that we will have victory in the long run. But I can't let it suffocate me and just saying, you're not getting the message. You're not getting the message. And I don't want to mean to sound mean and say, all right, forget about you. I mean, I'm still going to pray for him. But it's going to be a time that I think when God does something to turn his country back, it's going to be shocking. It's going to be supernatural. I really believe that. It's going to be biblical history that we're going to see. That's what I was sharing with you earlier. We should be honored about that. Therefore, these people that have been asleep, they are going to be freaking out. They're not going to know what to do. So we need to be there for them, and I think the Lord will use us for that.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's a great way to look at it. And, you know, to be proactive. For example, how do we engage in conversation? Here's what I do. I have business cards that have my website, awaketheiron.com, on it. My business card just says awaketheiron.com. That's all it says. And so I'll be in a store or something, and I'll hear a conversation that I'm not even a part of. And I know in my head, oh, me and my co-host, we talked about that exact thing on episode 6. Mm-hmm. So I'll write episode 6 on the back, and I'll just say, oh, excuse me, I heard you talking about such and such. Check, this is my podcast, and we talk about that exact thing. Have a nice day. And I walk away, because I'm not going to get into a debate or anything, a big conversation there.
No.
But just to point people in the direction, you know, and I like asking questions instead of like arguing with someone.
Yeah,
I like asking questions.
Yeah, you're not going to get anywhere arguing. You know, it's just, you just beat yourself on the head.
Exactly. But I just ask questions like, hey, what would you do if you found out that, you know, and then fill in the blank. For example, what would you do if you found out that most of the COVID tests are unreliable?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then they say, oh, well, I don't think they're unreliable. I'm like, no, I didn't say they are. I just said, what would you do if you found that out? Like, how would you react to it? How would you respond? And then let them answer. And then whatever they say, and then this follow-up question is, would you be open to looking at information that actually proves that exact thing? And if they say no, you walk away. Just end it, because you're not going to get anywhere.
No, but at least you planted a seed, right?
Exactly. And then that's where I throw out the business card, right? I say, hey, check out episode 7. About halfway through, if you don't want to listen to the whole thing, that's right where we talk about this, with visuals, charts, cited references, doctors' testimonies, right? And
that's
I say, don't believe anything I say. This is just me opening a door. You're going to have to go look on your own, because I'm not satisfied with just believing what you say. So I'm going to go look. But you know what? You got to be careful how you look nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
If you Google search anything, believe me, you will get the returns on your Google search of what Google wants you to see.
Absolutely. DuckDuckGo, my friend. DuckDuckGo.
Well, that's what I use. Yeah, that's what I use. And I use like I'm on Odyssey. Mm-hmm. It's like a YouTube alternative, right?
Yep.
And there's BitChute, Rumble, and there's Gab is like a Facebook.
Yeah.
But so I always try to leave the caveat too, but be careful how you look, because you know, if you just type in the jab, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you will get what Google wants you to see.
Yep.
And does Google want you to see the truth?
I don't think
so.
Or
do they want you to see what they want you to see? I don't think so either. No. I mean, you know, that's a whole other thing we could go on for hours and hours.
Right.
Just that, probably.
Same thing with same thing with YouTube, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
I never thought like 2 years ago that we'd be in this situation, worry about censorship.
I know.
And it's just
moving fast.
Yeah, it's pushing fast. 9 months of this evil empire, and look what they've done. Look what they have done. And it's...
I know.
And we've got a long ways to go. And that's why we need to pray that God steps in. You know, people saying like, well, I'm going to call him 45. You know who that is. You know, 45, you know, he's going to come back and do the rescue. That's not how it works. You pray that the Lord comes back. He may use him. He may be using him now some way. I don't know. But for the time being, we need rely on the Lord. I've been praying, Lord, you come back in our capital, the United States of America. You come back in on the throne of America. That's what we need to be praying, you know. But he does use people, and I believe 45 is his David today. He is his David today. I really believe that, and he'll still use him. He's not done with him. But don't rely on a human being to be your rescue.
That's right.
Don't sit on your hands and think somebody else will do it. No. And it can be something so little. Like you and I were just talking about our shows, I felt this is God's way of me serving him, and you know, and doing my gift that he gave me, and I'm reaching out to many people as I can. You know, even if I even said, I don't care if I have one viewer, if it affects, if it helps one person, or listener rather, if it affects one person and helps them, then that's great. You know, it's,
you're right.
That's the attitude we need to have. And we're only human and we're going to get frustrated, you know? And I share with my listeners this too. I don't know if you feel this way. When you go out in public, whether it be a store or just leave your house, I feel the overwhelming of evil. And it's so heavy. You just feel like a weight. And I just feel that. You just, it's not the same anymore. And there's people that are hurting because of this. And we need to be concerned about that, you know. It's, and it's the demons that are roaming around out there. And we also need to pray for protection as believers from these demons, because they want to seek and destroy. They are real. They're not a plaything. You know, you hear people say about ghosts. No, they're not ghosts. There's only one ghost. That's the Holy Ghost. They are demons. They're deceiving.
Right.
And they, you know, they are out there to seek and destroy. And like you were saying, they want to take takers too that'll go with them. You know, they want roommates.
Right. I mean, it's not funny, but the way you said it was funny.
Yeah, but it's true. It's true. I mean, it's true. It's just, I have suffered my own personal experience through anxiety, you know, stress, depression in my past, yeah. And God has really taken me a long way. I still struggle with that, and it's so stupid. I should know from the past he's got me through little things, and I shouldn't have to worry about things like that. But that's the enemy attacking, because he knows that's my weakness, and that's, you know, where I'm weak, and I have to go back to the Lord and get a recharge, you know, and just say, forgive me, Lord. I know you're in, you know, with everybody has their weakness, and the enemy knows your weakness, so he's going to try to take advantage of that. He's going to try to take advantage of that. But it's just, I guess, to sum it up with this whole thing, Kaysen, what do you think, how can we get people to unite? Is it just, I mean, no, number one is prayer. You think maybe, like you were saying, just communicating with them. I think also maybe being aware of their hurt and pain and confusion. What do you think about it?
You know, I it's kind of corny, but I always fall back to, what would Jesus do?
Not corny at all.
I saw a real quick, I'll expand on my reply, but I wanted to just say something funny. There was a meme. It said, so you're telling me, when you say, what would Jesus do, that chasing people with whips and wrecking tables is not out of the realm of possibility. Of course, referencing Jesus in the temple courts with the money changers. But I always thought that was funny. But in all seriousness, what would Jesus do? How would Jesus, here's an example. Jesus, I'm pretty sure, I'm being facetious, but I'm pretty sure Jesus didn't distance himself from people who were ill.
No, he went where
they. I'm pretty sure he purposely inserted himself into situations around not only the physically sick, but the spiritually sick.
Yes,
right,
and the sinners. Yes,
right, and I think of the. I think of the example, like, we had churches who were limiting how many people could come into the church building. That is terrible. Terrible. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
We have examples. Yeah, we have examples of Jesus, what the lame man who's, was it his relatives or friends, tore open the roof of the building that Jesus was in.
They sure did.
To get him to Jesus, right? There was no room. You're not allowed to come in. They tore the roof off to get this guy to Jesus.
And he didn't turn him away.
Okay, I think, I'm not saying there's, you know, that churches, like you said, not all churches are bad. There's not all people in the church is bad. And the church is the people. The church isn't the building, right?
Absolutely.
We know that. Right. But when there were church policies of the building where we where the people meet that limited the number of people or, you know, children's classes, well, you can only have 10 kids in the class. This is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if we don't do that, they'll shut us down. Oh, well.
Yeah, oh, well.
We'll meet somewhere else.
Yeah.
We will continue.
Yeah, absolutely. And God bless those pastors that, some of them that did stand up. I don't know if you're familiar about I forget the guy's name in Canada who did that. And he was here in the U.S. doing his testimony and stuff. And he went back and they arrested him, you know, for keeping his church open. And that's another story itself.
Was he the one guy from Poland? Originally from Poland?
I believe so, yeah, because I remember he had an accent.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, my sister just went and saw him in the Cincinnati area. He spoke.
Yes. He was here in the U.S.
She was like, She was like, oh, I just saw the one preacher guy who was, you know, arrested in Canada. And she's like, he's like one of my heroes. And I'm like, oh, you know, of course he is, you know. And he said he came from an oppressive place.
Yeah, and he's saying, and he can't believe what's happening to our country. He was saying that.
I know.
He was like, what are you people thinking? What is it going to take?
Anyway, that's a short story long, but
no, absolutely.
To respond to your question, how would Jesus, you know, respond? And you know, he threw things in people's faces a lot when they were wrong.
Oh yeah, he told the truth. They didn't like it. And you know, they thought that they stopped him by causing his life. Well, that didn't happen. Praise God. But it's
right.
You know, they absolutely. They didn't like, he spoke the truth and they didn't like it. It stings. The truth stings. And a lot of it people don't want to hear because they know they're wrong. They don't want to admit it. It's pride, you know, and that kind of thing. I also heard this. You'd appreciate this. I don't know if you heard this too. Well, Jesus would take the jab. I don't think so. Not if he knew if it's going to destroy his temple, his body. I don't think so. That's just my personal opinion. Yeah, wacky
Jesus
things.
Well, for example, if I know things about the jab to be a lie, if I know that there are lies surrounding that. If I went along with it, wouldn't I be going along with a lie?
I would think so. Yep, I would think so. And Christ is all about the truth.
Right, and I would concede that getting the jab or not really has no impact on the salvation of your soul.
Absolutely not, no.
Right.
Absolutely
but,
not.
In the words of the person, of the people who were criticizing me, they said, we need to be an example. And I am. I'm trying to be an example by standing on the side of truth.
Yes. That's what we're supposed to do.
So, you know, I guess people could disagree on what's true and what's not, which is fine. But something is true. Right. So people say, well, you know, you need to listen to what your doctor said. Well, my doctor told me not to because I have some other issues that are not compatible with the jab.
And it's also hard to find a doctor you can trust because they're part of that. They're getting money. Some of these doctors are getting money to get you to do that, you know. And they're not always right.
Hospitals are getting money for you know, they classify certain deaths a certain way and they get funding, you know, and, they, you know, you go do what your doctor says. Well, I am.
Yep.
Right. Well, well, doctors, you know, all the scientists say such and such. Well, there are doctors and scientists that say things that are exactly contradictory to what those doctors are saying. So which one is right? Or maybe they're both wrong.
And the funny thing is, remember when this whole thing started, they were saying all the medical field, oh, they're heroes. Look at these heroes. Look what they're doing. And now when they tell, they're the ones that are telling the truth, refusing to take the jab. Now suddenly they're the enemies and they lost their jobs. Isn't that funny?
Yeah,
Isn't that funny? It's amazing.
Yeah. If you're a nurse, you're a hero, right? People putting yard signs out at the beginning.
Yeah.
But now if you're a nurse and you're like, well, I really don't want to get that, or I shouldn't get it medically for some medical reason, I shouldn't get it. Oh, you're fired.
Yeah. You're
horrible.
Yeah. Who are you? Yeah. You're our enemy. You know, it's.
That's a great point.
God bless those people that stood up and did that. I forget what state that was in, but this hospital fired a lot of them.
Yeah.
A lot of them. But I know the Lord's going to take care of them. I think He'll use their medical talents in another way to help people. I really believe that. This enemy is not going to win. This enemy is not going to win. We've been lied to, as I told you before, for decades. Look at our nation's capital. I don't know if you ever had the opportunity to go to Washington, D.C., but when you go there and all those monuments and memorials, it's all satanic symbols, my friend. It's all satanic symbols. If you go on Google Map and you zoom out, you can see what they're talking about. I did the research myself and I wanted to see it. It's right there, plain as day. So that tells you how we've been lied to. And I think God is going to reveal this, and we are going to be shocked. And some people are not going to know how to handle the truth that we've been lied to. You know, they're not going to know how to handle it. And I think that's what we're going to come in to help them handle it. It's. I just don't know what else to say to these people, but just to pray for them. You know, pray for them and just hope that somehow they'll either wake up or they'll be healing in their heart or something. You know, it's just, like you said, it has nothing to do with salvation. It's choices that we make, and I just think, you know, I respect their choice, but don't put that on me if I disagree. You know, it's just, I think that people need to respect each other's opinions. If you want to live that way, if you want to wear the mask mandate, not a law, help yourself, knock yourself out. Mm-hmm. But don't come to me and do that. And I got news for you, and I'm sure you feel this way too. They're going to try the lockdowns again. It's going to come. It's going to come. You watch. That's going to be the next thing the enemy is going to do because he's so desperate. And there are going to be shutdowns. And we need to be praying for the people that have to make a choice. If they're going to lose their job or not, if the company decides to do this mandate that the Pharaoh did in the White House, telling them if you have 100-some employees, you know, we need to pray for those people. They have a choice to make. And my choice is I trust God. It would be very scary for me. But I trust Him and He's going to take care of me. You know, because the point is, all right, very simple. Do I do it and obey man and die possibly? Or do I trust God? What do you think the best outcome is going to be? You know?
Right, and the outcome may not be what I'm hoping or expect, but if I'm trusting in God, then the outcome will be what God wants it to be.
Absolutely.
And that's the right outcome. I'm always reminded of Jesus' prayer at Gethsemane, when he didn't want to be murdered. He didn't want to be tortured to death.
Of course not.
He prayed three times. If there was another way, could we do that instead, but not my will, but your will?
And that's a hard thing for us to pray at times, I think, because we know that God's will is not going to be our will. It's not going
right.
to be what
yeah.
we want, but He knows what's best. And if you,
it's very emotional scripture for me to read that, but I love it because Jesus was a man, and He had the pains and feelings of a man, and He prayed to God that he didn't want to be tortured to death. And I...
Who wouldn't?
I agree.
Yeah.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
But he prayed it the right way. And he said,
sure
but
did.
Not as I will, but as you will.
Yeah. And he could have easily, when he was on that cross, he could have called the angels to come rescue him. And he didn't.
Absolutely.
He didn't.
Because that's not how God Almighty, God the Father, was going to do it.
That's right.
It's so amazing.
It is. It is. That's something that everyone should reread that scripture again and really get deep into it, because you're so right. I can't imagine what he went through. Can't imagine what he was feeling. You know, talk about uncomfortable. Oh, my goodness. I mean.
Right.
That's, praise God. Praise
uncomfortable,
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable, understatement, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, I don't want to keep you anymore, my friend. I thank you so much for talking to me today. I consider you a friend. I met a new friend today. Praise God for that. And I want to have you back on again, because there's so much still to talk about, what's going on every day with current events and how we can help people and, you know, what we can do together. And, you know, I had my listeners and family members, friends, I did a... I called it 3-on-3, and I did pray for 3 times a day for 3 weeks. You know, you can do that very easily if you're breakfast, lunch, dinner, or whatever. And I didn't realize this until it's like the Lord confirmed this with me, but President Trump asked the same thing. He said, pray for 21 days, and that added up to be 21 days. So I'm thinking like, wow, I think God really wanted us to do that. And I think eventually we're going to see some miracles with that, because, you know, God hears our prayers. We humble ourselves and ask him to heal our land. And it's just, it's, I think we're still going to see pain. We're still going to go through this for a while, but we have to have faith in God, because he's in control. He sees the outcome. We don't. It's too overwhelming for us. I can't even imagine in the spiritual realm what the angels are doing right now. I think there's a reason why we're not allowed to see that, because we probably couldn't handle it. I just cannot imagine what that looks like. You know, I get chills when I think about that, you know? You know, it makes Star Wars look like a picnic, you know?
Probably. You're probably right.
Yeah, but, yeah. Can you tell everybody about your podcast again, man? And I'm going to definitely promote you and, you know, and get... so we can get some listeners for you. And so tell everyone again about your podcast.
Yeah. It's called Awake the Iron. And actually my website is awaketheiron.com. Everything is there. If you just want to listen to the podcast, it's on every major podcast player. And then I have been doing a lot more videos. So we do like Zoom and videos with visual aids and all kinds of fun stuff. It's weird because I research a lot of dark stuff, but I try to add some humor in there just to keep our sanity.
Sure.
To keep our sanity. And so that's mainly the just Awake the Iron is the podcast, and awaketheiron.com is my website, and everything is there as well.
Absolutely. And we'll definitely keep passing that on. You know, God bless you, my friend, and it's an honor that I met a new friend today. I've been blessed. And again, I want to keep in touch with you. We'll still do this again, because I think with you and I together, we can really send out the message and help others and do God's word. And I just thank you so much for taking your time today to talk to us.
Not a problem. It was my pleasure, and I really appreciated it, and I would love to do this again.
We will. We will, my friend. God bless you. Take care.
All right. Thanks.